Without further ado, I want to introduce our speaker tonight. It's Reed, our pastor, Reed Moore. He is an amazing man of God. And we're excited to hear what the Lord has been speaking to you tonight.
Awesome. How many of you guys love Ashley? Where's Gabe? For you. Yeah. Awesome. How you guys doing tonight? I am excited about my message. I just got done with 3 days with all the pastors at Abbott Loop, just praying and seeking God for vision and direction, and it was amazing. In 3 days, we accomplished so much. We heard the voice of God. Thanks for praying for us if you're praying.
Yeah.
And it's just exciting stuff, man. What's blowing out of this group and into our church, the vision and the direction, it's going to be amazing. In the next few years, God's going to open up internships and Bible school. I mean, it's just going to be ridiculous. What is going to be available to us to really build the kingdom of God. So I am stoked. You guys with me tonight?
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. It's sunny in the spirit. Praise God. They said this is the coldest summer since 1917. Little Anchorage. All God's people said. Nice. Awesome. All right. If you got yourself a Bible... Praise the Lord. Man, I almost couldn't find my notes. If you would, turn with me to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 17, and verse 8. 1 Kings is in the Old Testament. If that means nothing to you, it's in the first part of your Bible. 1 Kings 17, verse 8. I like my Bible. How many of you guys are here on Sunday for the training? You guys enjoy that? We do leadership training on Sundays. This next Sunday, we're all going to Cecilia's party. And then the week after that, I think we're going to have Apostle Dick Benjamin come and talk to us about the gifts of the Spirit. So we're talking like 60 years of experience, like ministering. It's going to be super good. 1 Kings 17, verse 8. Can we get a little more light in the house? I want to pretend it's sunny. Praise the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came to him, being Elijah, saying, "Arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there," say a widow there, "to provide for you." So he rose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there. Say, indeed,
indeed.
A widow was there.
A widow was there.
All right. Gathering sticks, and he called her and said, "Please bring me a little water in a cup that I might drink." And as she was going to get it, he called her and said, "Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." So she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil." Say, "A little oil."
Little oil.
"A little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I might go and prepare it for myself and my son, that we can eat it and then die." That was a bad day. And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go." Say, "Do not fear."
Do not fear.
I think that's good. "Do not fear. And go and do as I have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me. And afterwards, make some for yourself and your son. For thus said the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth." So she went that way and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. Let's pray. God, your word is awesome tonight. God has the power to change our hearts and our lives. God, we don't expect words. We expect life coming out of us by your Spirit, God. So tonight, I'm asking that you would take these words and you would anoint them and you bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Say amen with me.
Amen.
All right. Cook your Pop-Tarts, baby.
Yeah.
The Holy Ghost was talking to me about Pop-Tarts. How many of you guys don't believe me? It's actually true. So here I have Pop-Tarts. I have not held a Pop-Tart in my hand nor eaten one since I was like a junior higher. How many guys have had a Pop-Tart in the last week? Oh, yeah. That is awesome. You know these things have like 200 calories per Pop-Tart? Seriously. Dude, this is amazing. It's incredible. And this little box, this is heavy. Like, there are some massive amounts of cherry in here. Okay? All right, so check this out, man. Check this out. All right, here's the instructions for Pop-Tarts, all right? There's a great little comedy thing you can go to YouTube. Just type in Brian Regan. He's a comedian. He's clean. And he's got this thing about Pop-Tarts. It's funny. It's all right, so here's my version of it. All right, this is Frosted Cherry Pop-Tarts. You guys paying close attention? This is important stuff right here. Pop-Tarts toasting. Say toasting.
Toasting.
Very important. Toasting instructions. Remove pastry from pouch. Warm pastry in toaster appliance at lowest, lightest heat setting for only one heating cycle. Okay. Cool briefly before carefully removing pastry from toasting appliance. Is there any problem with using the word toaster? Does anybody not know what that means? I don't know. Okay. That's the toaster instructions. Here's the second set of instructions. Pop-Tarts with the little circle in the R, making sure you know what it is. Microwave instructions. Remove pastry from the pouch, in case you couldn't figure that out. Place pastry on a microwave-safe plate. Very important. Microwave on high for 3 seconds.
Three
seconds. Cool briefly before handling. And in red, okay, red letters here, Jesus' words. If pastry is overheated, frosting and filling can become extremely hot and may cause burns. All right. So if you're not a very intuitive person, there's lots of instructions of how you can get this goodness inside of you. Okay. How many of you guys here think you could probably cook a Pop-Tart? Okay. How many of you guys think you might be able to not be able to pull it off in the toaster? All right. Here's what I was feeling like the Lord was sharing with me. I don't know how I'm going to recover from this. Sometimes we think that before we really start doing something for God, we have to have something substantial about us. You know, I have to be on a leadership team. I have to do this or I have to do that. I have to be a part of the basketball team. I have to be in the A crowd. I have to be in the Z crowd. You know, who knows? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And we feel like we have to have something substantial about us. And what really happens is we start getting this feeling like, you know, unless I can cook a whole 7-course meal, I can't be used by God. And I think the Lord was just saying to me this last week that, you know what? You just got to be able to cook a Pop-Tart. I mean, anybody who has the Holy Spirit inside them can be used of God. You know, these are not the most nutritious things, but I'm pretty sure if you found somebody who was starving, they would be okay. Right? Oh, I'm sorry. Can't share my Pop-Tarts. Might give you too many calories. You know? There's a starving world out there, and we're worried about making sure that there's this nice presentation and the feng shui of the plate is just right, you know? And we're just all jacked up with all this stuff. Like, we got to have something special. When the reality is you already got something special. You don't have to do much to cook it. Right? I mean, if you look at the list of ingredients in here, there's more stuff in here than gifts of the Spirit. I mean, it's incredible. Seriously, look at this. This is the ingredients of Pop-Tarts right there. It's like a book. Okay, here we go. Instructions, ingredients. All right? God has placed a deposit in us. All we have to be able to do is push a button in the microwave and get it going. You guys see what I'm saying? There is something substantial that's in the inside of you already, and you don't have to be all worried about trying to get it out just right. He's going to help us with that. So let's go back to our story. All right, yeah, I'm going to. Who wants these? I am not going to eat these. Oh, my goodness. Leif needs some calories. Praise the Lord. I want to go back to our story. Elijah's name is a really cool name. Elijah actually means the Lord, he is God. So when you say the word Elijah, it's actually a proclamation. The Lord, he is God. And so what happened was, is God, if you can follow the story kind of prophetically with me, what happened in the story is that God chose a widow. Now, when we're looking in Bible days, this is no joke if you were a widow. Widows didn't have like a system that would provide for them. If you were a widow in a situation like this, in a drought with no ability to make an income, she wasn't just exaggerating saying her and her kid are going to get some sticks, make one meal, and then starve to death. That was their reality. That was literally what was going to happen to them. And so the man of God, the man called the Lord, he is God, comes to this woman who has very, very little. She has flour and she has oil and enough just to survive for a few more days. That's it. One meal, starve to death. Okay? And what the man of God does to her is he comes and he says, listen, if you will give me what you have, I will make sure that you never are without. I will make sure that the rest of your life, until it's just time that you can just get things because the drought's gone, you're going to be provided for. He's saying, listen, if you will cook your Pop-Tart and give it to me, I'm going to make sure you're good to go. Does that make sense to you guys? And so he comes to her and she obeys. And there's something here that the Pop-Tart thing wasn't what the Lord was sharing me with me. It's this principle. You see, we have this idea sometimes about us that if we're in a transition time in our life or like right now it's summer and we have school coming, what we do is we kind of stop doing things until that next season of life comes. Okay? So what happens is God's given us a bag of seed and he said the sower went out to sow. Okay? That's God talking. He's like, if you want to be like me, the sower is sowing. He's scattering seed. And so what we do is we tie up our little bag of seed real nice, and we put it in our pocket until the moon aligns with the stars and it's the perfect thing, and you know, and all the lights come on, and you know, it's just like we're waiting for this magical moment to start sowing our seed. But here's the deal, is the widow, you and me, we can't wait until the drought's over. We have to give to the Lord now. We have to use what he's given us now. Today. Because what happens is if you're waiting for that drought to be over, you're not going to make it. You have enough oil and you have enough flour to make yourself a meal and then die. How many of you guys know the feeling of not using the gifts and not using the stuff that's in your life and you watch yourself week after week slowly die? You don't have enough oil. You don't have enough flour. You're not going to make it. But the man of God comes to you and he says, if you will give me the oil and flour, I will make sure that you make it to your destiny. I will make sure that you make it to the day when rain comes on the land, when there's revival and there's access to all kinds of stuff. And you're walking in your gifts just like a river flows down a canyon. You guys getting what I'm saying? Come on, you guys getting excited with me here?
Yeah.
God has given you enough to give to him. He's given you enough to plant some seed. So you're carrying your bag around and you're waiting for your school year because you're just like, you know, I'm going to take my school for Jesus. Guess what? You're not going to have a field ready if you don't start planting now. You take those 10 little seeds and you throw them out on a field, and now you have 100. You take those 100 seeds, you cast them on another field, you have 10,000. You cast those 10,000s out, and pretty soon it's bags and bags and bags and bags of that can not only feed you, but can feed many. Cook your Pop-Tarts. Don't wait for them to get all nasty. God has given you enough in this season of your life to provide if you do it now, if you live today. This is a big deal. We do this all the time. You know, man, I'm going to come to GM because, you know, there's life there, but I think I'm going away to college, and so I don't really want to serve. I don't really want to commit. You know, wait. You don't have to be part of our leadership team to sow seed. You got to sow seed to sow seed. Yes, you see what I'm saying? I mean, you don't have to like all of a sudden, you don't have to build this great big thing. Okay, I got the oven going, and over here's the deep fryer, and over here I got the grill going. You just put your stinking Pop-Tarts in the microwave and push the button. That's all you got to do. You just got to sow seed here and now. Okay. So if you're here and you're in GM, you're like, I don't know if I should serve. Guess what? Yes. Yeah, I'll just solve all of your mystical praying right now. Okay. The answer is yes. And if tomorrow you go somewhere else, right on, man. You leave a field behind that's going to be harvested and it's going to produce a crop. What are you waiting for? I was talking to somebody the other night, and I was talking to him about me and my office. I have this thing where my office is just a mess. How many of you guys have seen my office at my house? Come on. How many of you guys can testify that a brother doesn't keep a good desk? All right. Okay. So what happens is I move my desk from one room to the other. And in my mind, I have this vision. And I'm like, man, when I move my desk and it's dialed in the other room, it's going to be like perfect. And every night before I'm done, I'm going to take the last 5 minutes of my day and I'm going to file all my paperwork. I'm going to get everything and put my pencils in line. You know, totally obsessive compulsive. And next day I'm going to walk into my office and it's just going to be like, ah. I moved offices like 7 times and it's never happened. Oh man, next time when I get a different car, it's going to be clean on the outside, it's going to be clean on the inside, there's not going to be junk and Pilates cups on the floor. Come on, you guys know what I'm talking about? Yeah. You just always have this, you know, the drought's going to end someday. And so you just kind of like, well, for now, I'm just not going to clean my desk. Okay, for now, I'm not going to clean my room. For now, I'm not going to, you know, whatever it is. And you know what? It's an illusion, isn't it? Because what happens is who we are, if it doesn't change, ends up over here. And so me with the messy car ends up with me with a messy car. Okay? The car doesn't change me. I change cars. Make sense to you guys? And so what happens is you will hold your bag of seed and you will slowly die. And then when you get to the place of the promised land, you look in and all your seed is dead. It's expired. It's run out. Okay, now unlike Pop-Tarts, seed, if it gets red and wet and gets messed up, it actually, they'll die. Pop-Tarts probably last for, I don't know, your lifetime. Who knows? I want to take you to a couple other scriptures, all right? I want to take you to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 16. No, it's chapter 12, verse 16. This is what Jesus said to this guy who was kind of rich. He said, then he told them a story. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, what should I do? I don't have room for all my crops. Then he said, I know. I will tear down my barns and I will build bigger ones. Then I will have room enough to store all of my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have earned and stored quite a bit for years to come. Now take it easy. Eat, drink, and be happy. But God said to him, you fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything you worked for? Yes, a person is a fool to store up in earth wealth, but not have rich relationship with God. Think about this. Some of us, man, we're carrying around some big old bags of seed and just hanging tight on those things. And, you know, we always say in church, well, you don't know if you're going to be alive tomorrow. Guess what? The chances are most of us here are going to be alive tomorrow. But you know what? You've experienced spiritual death as you haven't planted your seed. You've experienced that.
I don't have to scare you and say you might die tomorrow. I can tell you, you know you're going to die if you don't start planting your seed. That's just the truth of it. You guys know what I'm talking about? You can have a fertile field. I've seen people like this. They're Christians and they're amazing. They have good character and they have incredible gifts and they're sitting on their rear end doing nothing. And I've lived long enough in my short life to see those people not serve God 10 years later. It just has happened. And it's way not cool. And the reason is they stopped sowing their seed along the way. They said, friend, you had quite a bit. Character's pretty good. Giftings? And then they just stop. They stop growing. They stop sowing seed. They stop cooking their Pop-Tarts. It's not who we want to be, is it? We want to be people that keep sowing seed. I got another couple of scriptures. I like the word. This is James 4:13. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city. And we'll spend a year there at college. And we'll buy and we will sell and we will make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen to you tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, I shall go there and do this or that. Jesus talked about in the book of Luke and again in the book of Matthew, he talked about living today for today, didn't he? We tend to like think great things about the past. You're just like, oh man, back in the day when I had this spiritual experience. Well, yay, that's great. And I think, you know, like someday we're going to do something special. It's like, yeah, that's great. But what about today? What are you doing today? Right. Ashley says, she said, the name of Jesus. Man, you might not have even opened your mouth in public and said the name of Jesus. I'll just cook that Pop-Tart. Everybody say Jesus.
Jesus.
Okay, anybody know sign language? Isn't it like, I don't know, something? Yeah, there you go. All right. Awesome. Okay. So if you're not able to speak or speak, right there, you just cooked a Pop-Tart. Okay? You're able to do this. You're able to sow what little seed that you have. You can be a junior higher, you can be college, you can be high school. You have a Pop-Tart to cook. You have seed to sow. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to do it. God's given it to you and He's already given you the ability to sow that seed. And listen, if you don't live for today, you won't live for tomorrow. It's not going to happen. You go away to college, you go to your high school, you're not going to start that Bible study. You're not going to be in the presence of God with a bunch of people because the reality is that day when you get there is now today. And today you're still not living for Jesus today. And then the next day it's today. And the next day it's today. And when you're 70, you look back and you've done nothing with your life and your whole bag of seed is just rotten. You guys see what I'm saying? If you don't live for today, you will never live. If you don't serve Jesus today, you'll never serve Jesus. If you don't sow your seed, if you don't cook your Pop-Tarts today, you're going to starve. Is this making sense to you guys? This is important. So many of us do this. And we're coming out of camp and we're coming out of a time where God has filled our bags of seed. And some of us are still carrying around the same seed that we got at camp. You were at camp, you were prophesying over something, you're just throwing that seed out. And God's just filling your bag, you're throwing that seed out, you're just going for it. And then you're like, done the camp, you're like, yeah, you tie that thing up and you're just carrying it around like, I got some seed. Well, guess what? You got a bag of seed, but some of your friends have fields of seed. Because they've been sowing it. They've been cranking that stuff out, man. I want you guys to all stand up real quick. We're not doing an altar call. I just want you to stand up. Stand up with me. Okay. I want you all to turn around. Turn all the house lights on for me, if you would. Wait, there's something over back there. Turn around. Just look. Look out right here. Can you guys see the rest of this auditorium? You guys see that? Guess what that is? That's seed unsown. Okay, now I don't want to be condemning to you guys, but look at this. This doesn't even represent, this whole room doesn't even represent 1/20th of the people your age in this city. Not even 1/20th of the people in this city. If we filled this room, we wouldn't even have something to brag about for Jesus in this city. You guys can turn around and sit down if you want. Does that, I don't want to condemn you or really even convict you, but does that fire you up to maybe sow some of your seed? Come on, man. You know, a Pop-Tart for every person in Jesus' name. All right? Listen, they have nothing. They are dead. They are starved. Man, I don't care if you got a marshmallow, you got a Pop-Tart, you got a steak, you got something to feed somebody that ain't got nothing to eat. Come on, somebody. You see what I'm saying? You don't have to have lots of eloquent words. You don't have to be able to preach. You got to be able to smile and say, "Hi, I love you. You want to be friends?" I don't know. You know, people have done more stupid things for Jesus to have won people to the Lord than some of us have, you know, even talked to people. It's just like, you just, I don't know, go stand on your head in a bank. I don't know, just whatever God tells you to do. Here's the thing. It's not hard. You can totally do this. You can do this. You know what you can do? You can pray. Okay? You're afraid of people? Just pray. Just take out that Pop-Tart, pop it in the microwave, eat it yourself. Okay? All right? You got another one to share right there. You're good to go. You got 200 calories to give away. Okay? Every packet, you got two. Okay? We share our Twix. Praise the Lord. All right? We have something to give. You, say me. Say me. You have something substantial to give. If all you have is a Pop-Tart, man, if somebody's starving to death, that's substantial. Yeah? Today, tonight, tomorrow, you have something to give. You're not in a MyPod? Get in a community. Because you know what? You got something to give that somebody else there needs. Right. Maybe it's a hug. Man, I'm telling you what, some people, they're broken, they're hurting. You give them a hug and you just minister Jesus to them. How many of you guys can hug somebody that's your same sex? Okay? You can do that. All right? This isn't rocket science. You get in a community, you start loving people, and your Pop-Tarts, you know, you be able to push the button on the microwave. Now you're able to put the two side by side in the toaster. Push them down, they turn out a little bit better. Pretty soon, you're making toast. It's great. And you're putting some butter on that, and you're just like, yeah, this is better than a Pop-Tart, okay? Awesome. All right. Worship team, you want to come back up? There was one of those songs, I just want to sing it again. It was really fun and fast and good and just, it was good. It was the third one. Can we push number three on the CD? It was really awesome. Here's my encouragement to you guys tonight. It was a simple message. It's a short message. But here's what I want you to do is I want you to get in a MyPod this week and I want you to share your Pop-Tarts. All right? Oh, man. All right, threw my Pop-Tarts away. Leif's going to have to hand those things out. I want you to go there, and I want you to share what you have. It's a safe place to share. I want you to experience the presence of the Holy Spirit. He will give you more Pop-Tarts, okay? And that's all you got to do. Is everyone in this room, if you share what you have, whether it's significant in your eyes or not, we will rock this city. Man, I don't got enough Pop-Tarts to feed this city. Okay? All of us, we have what God's looking for. That's why you're here. Amen? Awesome. Let's go ahead and stand up. And you guys can come in front if you want to worship down here. And we're just going to get in God's presence. And here's what I want you to think about. I want you to think about this. Jesus, I have something to give. Help me to give it. Don't say, what do I have to give? Just say, I have something to give. Help me give it away. Awesome. Let's pray. God, I thank you tonight, God, that you have filled this room with gifted people. You have filled this room with people that have something to give a lost and dying world. And God, I'm asking right now that you would help us to just give. To just live this life today, God. God, I have today. I have right now. And if I give right now, then I'm going to give tomorrow and the next day and the next day. God, I'm a sower that went out to sow, and I'm going to sow my seed. Jesus, I'm a widow, and I have a little flour, and I have a little oil. And right now, I'm giving it to you because you can sustain me till the time of the rain. You can sustain us, Lord, until the time where it rains down on us, God. And God, right now, we just declare you're awesome. And we're asking right now that you would rain down on us and that you would create an environment for our seed to grow, God. We love you tonight. Amen. Let's worship.